Welcome to the January 3rd virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by worship associates Victoria Taylor and Ellen Plummer. The theme for the service is In the Beginning.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us this morning. Happy Gregorian New Year to everyone. We certainly hope folks have had a good holiday and a chance to restore and get ready for what I'm hoping will be the best year ever, 2021. My name is Ellen Plummer. I'm serving as a worship associate this morning with Victoria Taylor, and who is also a worship associate in our congregation. Pam Phillips, our minister, is taking a well-deserved Sunday off and will be back in the pulpit on Sunday the 17th. So we're glad to be able to give Pam a bit of a break. If you have joined us today for the first time, we welcome you and we are really glad you have found us. In the chat function of Zoom, you'll find a link to our virtual visitors card. We really hope that you'll fill that out and give us an opportunity to reach out to you and stay in touch. We invite everyone to stay after service for our virtual coffee hour. We'll go into small breakout rooms for a chance to meet in small groups and catch up and introduce ourselves to one another. There are many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout our week. Look at the calendar on our website for times and Zoom links. Thanks to all of our volunteers who make possible all of the activities that our community offers. We have an activity this afternoon. We have a workshop, a spiritual aging workshop at 3 o'clock. And we hope folks will join us for that workshop this afternoon. If you have a joy or a sorrow that you would like shared aloud this morning during service, you will find a link in the chat function to fill out so that we might read and share your joy or sorrow aloud. If you have a candle or a chalice at home, we invite you to join us in lighting your chalice.
And we will read these words by Eric Williams.
In the beginning,
there was light,
infinite and expansive,
flowing out from an unseen center.
Throughout creation,
there is light.
From the steady sun,
the glowing moon,
the flashing meteor,
the twinkling stars,
and the auroras dancing in the northern skies.
Within each part of creation,
there is light,
slowed down and held close
by every cell and every molecule,
by each atom and element.
Within you,
there is light,
the same light as the source,
the same radiance that is in all creatures.
May this small flame
be a constant reminder to you
of your true nature
and your kinship with all beings. Good morning and Happy New Year, happy everything. This month we are pondering what it is to be a people of imagination. Imagination, the source of all creativity. Creativity led me to think about creation myths, the human origin stories that have tried to imagine answers to the question, where do we come from? Most of us here are most familiar with the Genesis story. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And some of us remember from school, Cronus, the titan of Greek mythology, swallowing stones and disengorging the gods of Mount Olympus. And some might even know about Pan Gu, the Chinese representation of chaos, who upon becoming stationary's body turns into land and sea. All cultures have creation myths. All peoples, tribes, and cultures have traditions that inquire into in the beginning. Departments of science, even at our own Virginia Tech, have cosmology departments that look into, using scientific inquiry, the vast spaces and the tiny places for the meaning and source of creation. Creation stories share many common tropes. They usually begin with chaos. There's some sort of separation into earth and sky and water. Light comes to earth. There's some otherworldly influences, often floods, growing things, animals, and of course, the inception of man. Often the stories go on and try to explain the nature of man or the reason for things like human suffering. There are also fundamental differences in the way various creation stories relate creation and the ways to explain the roles and relationships of gods, man, and nature. And in my notes, I wrote God, man, and nature with sort of capital letters. This is important. Joseph Campbell, the renowned ethnologist, said, "Myths are clues to the spiritual potentiality of human life. You get a totally different civilization and a totally different way of living according to your creation myth." Creation stories set the backdrop as to how we live our lives and set the backdrop for our being here. Today, we will listen to several creation stories. And while doing this, I encourage you to begin to think about your own story. We create stories to help us understand how we got here, how we fit in, historically, culturally, personally, scientifically. We each live according to our own myth. When we look at our personal creation stories, these are creations of our imagination. What might change? How can we imagine the world to be? In 1988, PBS aired a wonderful series called Joseph Campbell and the Power of Myth. Episode 2 is about creation stories. In it, Bill Moyers, the moderator, reflects, "Let me tell you what happens to me when I read these stories. No matter the culture of their origin, I feel first this sense of wonder at the spectacle of the human imagination, simply trying to understand this existence."
Let us celebrate our ability to contribute to our community by collecting our offering. Today's half plate recipient will be the Interfaith Child Care Center, where we as a community care for the least among us.
Actually, we are not giving to the Interfaith Child Care Center this morning.
I stand corrected.
We are giving to the Future Economy Collective, which is in the way the same, giving to the least of these. Southpaw's Cafe and Community Space, which is a new endeavor in downtown Blacksburg in the space next to Bolo's. We're very excited to be able to support them this morning.
Thanks, Victoria. Please give through our Give Plus app or text the word FUND to 844-909-2617. If you have never used any of these, look at your order of service and in the announcements for more instructions on how to give. You will be able to give after service as well. Please join me in reading our acceptance of our offering. in support of our congregation and our larger community. This ritual also serves as a constant reminder that we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
As I said earlier, most of you are most familiar with the creation story in Genesis, the one that starts, Bareshit Barum Elohim et Hashem Yah Vayet Haaretz. Oh, right, in English. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Now the earth was unformed and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the God hovered over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and he saw that it was good. Now, most of you know the rest. But many of us with inquiring minds find this version to give a little too much power to the divine, as well as being a little misogynistic and a setup for environmental disaster. But it is our myth, the story that our tribe has lived with for 10,000 years. Today, I would like to share with you a beautiful rendition of that story, which I found in my grandson's children's Bible called Growing in God's Love, a Story Bible, edited by Elizabeth Caldwell and Carol Wareheim. How God Made Everything. Long ago, before telescopes and microscopes, before scientists discovered everything they know today, people told stories about the beginning of the world. This is the story about that beginning of the world that the people of God told. They thought everything God made was beautiful. At first, it was really hard to see. Water was everywhere. So God made light, the light you see every morning when you wake up. When God saw the light, God said, it's beautiful. Then God moved the water around. Some of it God spread all over the world. Some of it God put into the clouds in the sky for rain. And God said, water is beautiful too. After that, God put the world's water in the oceans and the lakes and the rivers. Then the dry ground you walk on appeared. In the ground, God planted grass and trees and everything that grows outside your window and outside everyone's windows. God even made the geranium in the little pot on your windowsill. And God said, aren't those plants beautiful? To make sure we have light and day and night, God made the big sun that you see every day. Then God made the moon and the stars you see when you lie on your back at the ground at night. And God said, don't you think they're beautiful too? Finally, God made all the animals everywhere, the fish and the crabs and the whales in the water and the birds flying up with the clouds in the sky. God made all the animals around us on the ground. Then God made us, people. And God said, wow, you are all beautiful. Then God spoke to us for the first time. God told us who we are and what we should do. And God said, you are all my people in the world I made. I made you just enough like me that you too can see how beautiful everything is. Take care of the world. Keep it beautiful. Keep it just as beautiful as I made it. I like that telling of Genesis 1, verses 1 through 2.4. It makes me smile. Even if you question whether God was the cause, I think we can agree that most of creation is in fact beautiful. Is that a myth? An empowering story? What does it feel like if you live as though creation is a gift of beauty and abundance? Finding beauty in our histories, in our relationships, within our communities, our government, it might take some effort, but I have every confidence in you. Use your imagination. Fill your stories with beauty and abundance. Simple answers to common questions. Te Haku Armu, Charles Royal, a New Zealand scholar, wrote of this tale, "Many aspects of the Maori worldview are influenced by the essential elements of this creation narrative. Creation stories give people a way of looking at their world. These stories tell us about individuals acting in particular ways and securing their position in the world." So I ask you today, what is your story and how does it impact your worldview? None of us are at the beginning of time, and few of us were at the beginning of your personal time. So use your imagination, fill your creation story with meaning and hope. Back to Joseph Campbell. He said, "I think what we're seeking is an experience of being alive so that our life experiences that we have on the physical plane will resonate within our innermost being and our innermost reality so that we actually feel the rapture of being alive. That's what it's about. That's what these clues help us to find within ourselves. As our creation myths give us a framework to live our lives and to make sense of our path, I invite you to make sure yours is worthy of you."
As we extinguish our chalice today, and as a form of benediction, I'd like to share words written by Susan L. Van Dresser. Let us sing the magic of imagination. Let us sing the magic of imagination by which we know one another and learn the lives of eras gone by. Let us sing the magic of creation by which we build the world of our soul and teach its wisdom to others, young and old. Let us sing the magic of our lives together, holding and shaping by the movement of breath from heart to lung, all new life that is to come. Go now with singing. Go now with magic in your fingertips. Touch this world with life. May it be so, blessed be, and amen.